tried for like 5 seconds. I'm just like, I have no idea how they do this. And so it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort on all of these, and a job well done by each of the young people this morning. I really, really enjoyed that. So hope you are using your talents for the Lord. That's the whole point of our contest. It's an opportunity for you to develop talents that can be a help to other people through your church especially, and also to be able to represent your church while you're here at camp. Philippians 2, if you have it, would you stand with me, please? We're going to look at verses 3 and 4 as a text this morning. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, you can follow along while I read. The Bible says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Thank you for standing. You may be seated. All right, here's my question of the day for you. Are you a humble person? Do you ever feel like you've been asked a trick question? How do you answer that question? Are you humble? You say, well, yeah. Like, if I say yes, doesn't that mean that I'm not really humble? Because maybe I'm proud about being humble. But if I say no, maybe that means that I really am humble, but I said no, so is that even really honest? So you see how this can be a tricky situation? Dealing with pride in our lives is tricky. Pride is something that pops up in every one of our hearts. We all have situations where we think ourselves better than others. As we look through this passage this morning, I think it's going to be obvious that our natural tendency is to think a lot more of ourselves than we should think of ourselves. And I have been frustrated at times to think that maybe I have this pride that I'm unaware of, I am blind to, I can't get past it. And then I think, is there any hope of me being able to have victory over something when I can't even seem to quite grasp it? There are some things that over the years, and just thinking through this and also looking for this passage and others, that have helped me come to the place where I think I understand how we need to look at and deal with pride, how it is we need to look at and deal with developing humility in our lives. Humility is not going to be something that's natural. Humility, in a sense, is something you've got to work at. It is something that you've got to think about. It is something that you have to aspire to. And we both have to come to the place where we are willing to admit to God when we have failed, but we're not necessarily beating ourselves up completely over it if we have, where we come to God. We know God hates pride. We know that is not something God wants in our lives, but we have to keep working and up. There I go again. I allowed pride to come up in my life again. God, I know that's wrong. I know that's not what you want. I know that's not what pleases you. Please give me the grace to develop humility in my life. And I would just tell you that this passage of Scripture is one of the great passages in all the Bible to help us out with it. Now look what it says in verse number 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. Strife would be the idea of fighting. Vain glory would be the idea of lifting ourselves up and thinking more of ourselves than we should. And it's all for emptiness. It's all for nothing, because we are all really nothing in and of ourselves. But then the Bible says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now that's the first place of a problem that I get to when I'm being honest. And that is that I have a hard time thinking anybody is better than me. I pretty much like me. I pretty much am pretty happy with me. There's a lot of things about me I like. You might not. I'm not taking a poll, so thank you for not voting. But I am thinking that, you know what, there's a lot of things about me that I like. And even if there are things about me that I don't like, I'm still more concerned about me than I am about any other person in this world naturally. That's just how it is. That's just how I am. And I think a lot of us would identify that. And yet the Bible says we need to esteem others better than ourselves. We need to make them more important. We need to put them up in a position of prominence over ourselves. Verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but also on the things of others. You know, sometimes when we look at pride and humility, it might help us if we just back off of that a little bit and think more in terms of, are we being self-centered or others-centered? Because sometimes pride and humility, all of that kind of stuff, can mask itself in other ways. It can present itself in a variety of different ways, when the truth is that we need to not just allow the focus to be on ourselves. Now, I think a lot of times when I was growing up, I got the idea that humility was thinking poorly about yourself. But you know, that's not what humility is. Humility is not thinking poorly about yourself. Humility is not thinking about yourself at all. It's where you put yourself to the background and you put others in front of yourself. That is what true humility is. Pride can display itself in my heart and in my life when I either think I am great or I think I am horrible. Now, I understand there is a certain honesty to the fact that we are at times quite evidently horrible. We sin. We do bad things. We are struggling with a lot of areas, but when we stay in that spot and dwell in that spot and dwell in that spot, then that is not where God wants us to be either. Our place is to be to put the focus off of ourselves so that our own focus can be on the needs of others. And so that's what the Bible teaches us. Now, in this passage of Scripture, we are given several fantastic examples of humility. And I'm talking about individuals. And the first of them was Jesus Christ himself. Because from verses 3 and 4, look down at verse number 5, it goes right on to say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. How could you have a better example of taking the focus to be off of yourself and onto others than Jesus Christ himself? He was the perfect example. Why did Jesus come into this world? For me. Why did Jesus die on a cross? For you. Who was Jesus thinking about? Who was Jesus focused on? Who was it that was the priority to Christ in going through all of that agony? It was you. It was me. He really embodied everything that verses 3 and 4 say. The Bible says in verse 5 that it is his mind that we need to have in us if we're going to fulfill this. Now, when I look at Jesus and I think about Jesus and how he fulfilled verses 3 and 4, it is kind of amazing. Verse 4, I can understand. Jesus certainly did not look on his own things, but he looked on the needs of others. Isn't that pretty obvious? When Jesus died on the cross, he was not looking at his own needs. He was setting that to the side so that he could take care of the needs that we have. The need to have our sins forgiven. The need to have a home in heaven and to have all that taken care of. Okay, that's great. Some of you don't look too impressed with that, so I want you to look at verse number 3. How in the world could Jesus possibly think this? Verse 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. I get that. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. There isn't anybody better than Jesus. Nobody. Not you, not me, not your pastor, not the greatest person you've ever met or most revered in your life. There is nobody in this world that is better than Jesus Christ himself. And yet Jesus came with the attitude that said, I am putting you better than me. You deserve to die, but I want to give you eternal life. And so I am willing to take the punishment that you deserve and act as though I deserve it. What is humility if that is not humility? And so when you look at the mind of Christ and the example of Christ, you find the greatest example of humility you will ever find. As you go on down through the passage, look at verse number 17. Paul himself, the one who wrote this letter to the Philippians, said, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice for you all. He said, look, if I have to go through all sorts of trials, if I have to go through all sorts of troubles, just so I can put you in a place where you can succeed spiritually, I'm down for it. I'm ready for it. I'm willing to do it. I don't mind being hurt. I don't mind being put to the side just so that I can bring some benefit to you. That's okay. If that's not humility, what is humility? Look a little bit further in the passage, down to verse number 25. We hear about a man by the name of Epaphroditus. Paul says, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard he had been sick. Okay, when you read about Epaphroditus, you find out that he had had the ministry of being a pastor, quite possibly having been these folks' pastor. But he had moved on from that, and he was now assisting in the work that the Apostle Paul had. And the people of Philippi had heard that Epaphroditus was sick, and they were worried about him. They were troubled about that. They were praying for him. And when Epaphroditus heard that the Philippians had heard that he was sick, it made Epaphroditus feel bad. He's like, oh no, they don't need to be worried about me. It's okay. I don't mind. I don't mind going through this. And so Paul was compelled to send Epaphroditus back to the Philippian people just so they could see him and have some comfort. And so Epaphroditus could say, look, see, I'm okay now. I'm fine. All right, don't worry about me. Stop worrying about me. Let's just get back to the business of serving the Lord. If that's not humility, what is humility? And in each one of these examples, whether it is Epaphroditus or it is Paul or it is Jesus Christ himself, you see a great example of what humility is. But there's a fourth example in the passage, and that is a name you probably know as well, and it's the man Timothy. And I find in the illustration of Timothy, not just an example of what it looks like, but how we can actually take steps to achieve it. So I want to focus there. So look down, if you would, at verse number 19. Paul says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Okay, notice that first of all, Paul says, I'm going to send Timothy to you, and the reason I have chosen Timothy is because Timothy thinks just like I do, and because I need a representative there with you. Paul couldn't travel at this time, and so he needed someone to travel for him, to see the people, see how they were doing, say what Paul would say, hear what Paul would hear, see what Paul would see. And Paul said, I know the guy, and his name is Timothy. And he said, I don't have anybody else that gets to the level of like-mindedness the way Timothy does. And in this, he says that Timothy was the perfect one to send back, and I see that he provides for us three steps that we can take if we are going to develop humility in our lives. Let me just point them out to you. Number one is this. Practice. Practice humility. You know, in verse number 20, it said, for I have no man like-minded who will, now look down at your Bible, see the next word, naturally care for your state. I find that a very interesting word. Paul says, I'm going to send Timothy because it's just natural for him to care about you. And I don't know anybody who will naturally care about you the way Timothy would naturally care about you. Here's the deal. Nobody naturally cares about other people. That's not the way we're made. That's not the way we come into this world. We come into this world as sinners, and as sinners, we are self-centered. We put ourselves first. We put our needs first. So if you are going to develop humility in your life, you've got to come to the place where you practice it. If it's ever going to be natural, it's got to be first something that you worked at. Did you know that there are things in the Christian life you have to work at? You can't do it just naturally. How many of you back in your church have ever worked in the nursery? Anybody worked in the nursery? All right. A lot of you ladies have, and even a few guys have as well. I have very occasionally, and only in desperate situations, been asked to help in a nursery. But I'm glad to, especially if I'm just helping my wife or something like that, to work in a nursery. But there is one thing that I know about a nursery. Excuse me. I know that in a nursery, you can learn a lot about human nature. You see, here is a child. Here's another child. They're toddlers. There's a toy. There are exactly, and I know this from counting, 16,427 toys in that nursery. And yet each child wants one and only one toy. And so they go after it. And never do you see naturally where you have kids that are just like always trying to share toys. Now, whenever you see a child who has learned to share, you can know that they have learned to share. And while you might be impressed with the kid, I would encourage you to stop and probably be more impressed with the parent. Because somebody, a parent, a grandparent, somebody has worked with that kid. Because we all know that our natural state is, I want what I want. I want what's best. Even if it's not what is best, if it's what I sense is best, what I think is best, then that is what I want. And so you're not going to be able to just be humble naturally. You're not going to just naturally think about other people. You have actually got to practice it. It's a little bit like walking, all right? Every one of you walked into this room. I would suspect that not one of you thought about the process of walking while you did it. You just did it. You just walked. You just took a step, took a step, took a step, took a step, didn't fall over too many times, and you made it all the way into the auditorium, sat down, and you're good to go. It wasn't always like that. You've seen little kids. Little kids are stumbling about. That's why we call them toddlers, because they are toddling, because they're not walking quite properly. They haven't got it down to an art. You may not have many skills. Probably you do. But if you feel like you don't have any skills, you can at least congratulate yourself today. I have accomplished walking. I have really gotten somewhere in life. I can do that. Okay, and so it's not something that's natural. At one point, it was something you had to work at. My dad is now in heaven. But before my dad passed away several years before, he actually had parts of both of his legs cut off. It was surgery and amputation. And at that point, he was in a wheelchair. But he went through the effort to learn how to walk again. He had one prosthetic that went from below the knee down to his foot, and he had another prosthetic that actually had like a vacuum on it to act as a knee, as a joint, and it connected up above his knee where his knee had been. And he went through the difficult time of learning how to walk again in his 70s. It took a lot of practice. It took a lot of work before he could actually do it again. And I am just telling you today that humility is the same way. You have got to learn to look for ways to put others ahead of yourself. And if you look around, you'll be able to find many other ways that you can put others in front of yourself. Did you know that sometimes when we are sometimes when we are at camp, we say, well, this isn't really the real world. And I know what we mean by that, Maybe there are some friends back home that you've been able to escape from the week that would otherwise be a bad influence, or some other things in your life. That's why we have camp, so that we can have a good atmosphere for the ministry of preaching. But the truth is that this isn't heaven, and there are still other imperfect people all around you. And so honestly, you don't have to wait till you get home to practice humility, because you have people around you with needs all this week. The truth is that at the end of this service, we will not have an invitation, but we will have an afternoon. And that is just as much of an invitation as going back to pray with a counselor, where you can go and put what you have heard and what God has spoken to your heart about into practice, and just learn to put others in front of yourself. So number one, practice. Number two, change your perspective. Excuse me. Change your perspective. Look again at verses 20 and 21. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your sake, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. Now that may sound just like normal verses, but I think through things very logically. I like patterns and I like parallelism and all that kind of thing. And there is a shift in parallel logic here that happens, and you might have missed it. He says in verse 20, I don't have anyone naturally like-minded who will naturally care for your state. So he is talking about Timothy and them. And he says, there's nobody like Timothy who would naturally care for you. And in comparison to that, he said, because everybody else seeks what they want, not what you want. Except that's not what he said. He didn't say, you know, Timothy is different from everybody else because Timothy doesn't think about him. Timothy thinks about you. Everybody else thinks about them. Timothy doesn't think about you. So what he says, look at the end of verse number 21. He says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. You see, Timothy had a different perspective than anybody else. When we are centered on ourselves, it's not just that we are not noticing you, it's that we are not noticing Christ. My job to put you first is not so that I can make you some type of human idol that everybody worships. It's so that I can serve Jesus, but I can do it in a practical way by serving you. Turn over just a few pages to the next book of the Bible, Colossians. Colossians 3 and verse 23. The Bible says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Hey, guys, hey, girls, here's the deal. When you are serving other people, serve the Lord. When you are serving others, remember, it's not really others you're serving. It's really Jesus Christ himself. Jesus said that about himself in a particular context, in a particular passage in the book of Matthew. And he speaks to some and he says, hey, you gave me a cup of cold water. And those he's speaking to says, I never gave you a cup of cold water. And Jesus said, when you gave it to one of the least of these, you were giving it to me. Somebody today might need a cup of cold water, and when you give that to them, you are putting them before you, but you're not just serving them, you're serving Jesus Christ. And when we keep Jesus Christ in his proper place in our mindset, that he is the one that we are serving, then it keeps us in the right place as well, that we are put low. We are not a part of the picture. We are not the important part of the picture, because we are serving you by serving Christ. And that's the way all of us should be. So I encourage you, first of all, practice. Secondly, change your perspective. And then, as a very practical suggestion, I would say remember your positions. Remember your positions. Look at verse number 22. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. Now, Paul was not Timothy's father, but Paul was like a father to Timothy. And because Paul was like a father to Timothy, that they had a relationship that was built the way a father and son relationship would be. And I can tell you, because I have a son, that a father-son relationship is a very special thing. But it is also generally a very orderly thing. And here's what I mean by that. Oftentimes, when my son and I are together, I will see my son defer to me. We're hopping in the car, I jump in and drive. We're going someplace, and he lets me go first. He holds the door for me or whatever. There is just this deference because he sees me as his authority figure. It's not something, I mean, there is a sense in which in his life when he was younger, I demanded it. I get that. That is true. But not at this point in life. And so there is just a natural thing that we tend to then respect and give the place of honor unto the Father. And Timothy would have been doing that with Paul. You see, Timothy had good practice at being a servant. Timothy had good practice at being humble because he recognized there is a person that I am under. There is a person that is my authority. There is a person that it makes sense for me to serve. If you are back home and you are struggling with a spirit of submission towards your mom, towards your dad, towards your pastor, towards the youth pastor, there's four good ideas for who you can start with to start showing a humble spirit. Just have a humble, respectful spirit and take advantage of the place where you're at now. You know, we think sometimes as young people, well, one day I'll get to the place where I'm not really under others. And that never happens. You will always be under others. But even when you are over others, you learn at some point in life that I'm only over them for the purpose of serving them. And so while, yes, it is true that my son might naturally defer to me, I can tell you that I spend a lot of times, hey, what can I do for you? How can I help you? Because I love him, because I care for him, because I want to serve him as his authority figure. And it is good for us to use the relationships God has put us in to learn how to be humble. And I remind you once again that humility is not thinking poorly of yourself. It is not thinking of yourself at all. Put others before yourself. Now, I would just say in conclusion this one other thought. It's hard to do that. And I have told you, you need to practice. And it's true, you ought to look for ways to be humble. But look right this way and understand this. I am not in any way, shape, or form suggesting that you can just do it on your own willpower. The most important verse in the whole passage to me is back in verse 5, where Paul said to the Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And can I say this to you? This is important. The Bible does not say, have a mind like Christ. I know that's what we often say when we read that verse. We should have a mind like Christ. It's not what it says. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You do not need a mind like Christ. You need the mind of Christ. And that only comes when you ask God for his help to fulfill in you the things that you know you're supposed to do. And so you say, dear God, I want to be humble. Dear God, I want to have the right spirit. Dear God, I want to serve, but I can't. I fail. I put me first, but I am asking you to do it through me. I am asking you to live it through me. I am asking you to fulfill it through me. And I am telling you that is the only way that you or I can ever get to the place of true humility is when Christ does it in us. So let's ask God to help us do that today, shall we? Let's bow for prayer. If this is something that you would like to do, you'd like to have a humble heart, you would like to work at that, and you would like God's help, then just ask him for that help right now. Would you do that? You do that while I pray and close this service. Father, thank you so much for the truth of the scripture. Thank you so much for the opportunity to see that we can have humility and we can achieve that, but only with the help of Jesus Christ. Help us to look for ways to practice and to put this into practice today. Help us to serve others, but help us to know it is by really serving you. And God, help us to take advantage of the relationships you've given us, even here at camp today. So help us to be servants, help us to be humble, and help us to live not just like Christ, but because of Christ and what he is actively doing in our lives today. We are so thankful, we are so grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.